Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvachim Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Lamed Dalid, the Gemara will be pursuing a topic that was mentioned in the previous Sugya, in the previous discussion. So, if you'll notice the Gemara, a few lines from the top, 11 lines to be more precise, the second to last word on the line, Gufa. Gufa is a reference to a quote of something that was mentioned earlier. So, we had mentioned earlier, Tomei she'ochal basar kodesh lifnei zrika. A person who was Tomei, who ate from sacrificial meat before the sprinkling of the korbans, of the sacrifice's blood. In general, the sprinkling of the blood, the zrikas adam, is that which allows the meat of a sacrifice to be consumed. In other words, the slaughtering is not sufficient. One has to wait until the zrikas adam is done as well. What is the din of an individual who is Tomei, who ate from the sacrificial meat before it became allowed? So that's the topic that we have at hand. Reish Lokish Omar Loike, that if one does this, one will subject himself to a penalty of lashing. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Eino Loike. According to Rabbi Yochanan, he may have done something wrong, but he doesn't get lashes. This was mentioned in the previous sugya. Before we go further, let's take a look at our topic heading and structural note that accompanies this section. In the outside margin, you'll notice a term written, nosei, and with a slash, and then mivneh. This is a situation where we've combined the title of the sugya, which we refer to by the word nosei, and the structural note that we refer to by the term mivneh. We see a couple of points mentioned. Tomei she'ochal basar kodesh lifnei zrika. The situation we just described of someone who was Tomei, who ate from sacrificial meat before the sprinkling of the blood. Tohor she'ochal es ha-Tomei, a person who was Tohor, who ate from meat, the korban meat that had become Tomei. So in the first case, we just mentioned a Tomei individual who ate from sacrificial meat before Zrika. So we saw Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. Omar Abaye. We notice a diamond around Abaye. This is also explained on the side where we feature the diamond under our structural note. Machlokis Abaye v'Rovo Masai Chokin Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. We will see Abaye, and a few lines later we will see Rovo, both of them featured in a diamond in order to draw your attention to both of these shitas. They will be moderating, so to speak, the Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish. To make things a little easier, Abaye and Rava will agree under what circumstances there is a Machlokis. They will disagree, namely Abaye and Rava will disagree, what is a point of concurrence, of agreement. We also have provided a little chart to the side of the Gemara to help keep the different deos in order. So, first let's learn the Gemara, and then we can refer to the chart for review purposes. Omar Abaye, Machlokes Betumas Haguf. The Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is a situation where the person eating the meat was Tomei. It's under those circumstances that Rabbi Yochanan says that there is no Malkos. Aval Betumas Bosor. However, a case where the person eating the meat himself was Tahor, he was pure, and the meat had contracted Tumah, under those circumstances of a tohor that ate meat that's tomei, divrei hakol loike, everyone will be in agreement, says Abaye. Everyone, meaning Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, will agree that there is malchus. That even Rabbi Yochanan will concede under these circumstances that there's malchus. The Omar Mar, there is a teaching, and we're citing a posuk from Vayikra, Perek Zayin Posuk Yutes, where it says v'habosar. This is an extra word available to expound upon. L'rabois eitzim ulavoino delav b'nei achilo ninu v'afilo hochi ravinu kra. The posuk, which we've written into in its entirety on the side, on your inside margin, you'll notice Vayikra Zayin Posuk Yutes says, we'll first read the posuk. It says v'habosar asher yiga b'chol tomei lo ye ochel, the meat that touches any tuma, don't eat from it. We're talking, of course, about sacrificial meat. Ba'eshi saref, it shall be burnt in the fire. V'habosar t'kol tohor yochal basar. Notice how in this posuk the word basar is found twice. Posuk Chof says v'anefesh asher tochal basar mizevach ha'shlomim asher l'ashem v'tum osoy olo v'nichrusu ha'nefesh ahi me'ameha. So the Gemara itself points out that the word v'habosar comes to include eitzim and levona, namely the wood destined for the mizbeach and the levona, a substance that's brought as an incense. It's not something that's eaten. And yet, if they contract tuma, they will be forbidden to eat, to be eaten. Now, we're talking about things that are not edible in the first place. And yet, nevertheless, we see that things that are not edible are included under the prohibition of tuma. Let us now look at Rashi, L'rabois eitzim levona, L'tumas atzmon, D'chibas ha-kodesh machsharton. The fact that they're sanctified enables them to be subject to contraction of tuma, L'shavinu uchla, to make them considered as if they were food items. V'yafagav dehani lav b'nei achilo ninu, even though eitzim and levona are non-edibles, U'bosor lifnei zrika lo gora minayu. And it has to be noted that the meat of korbanos before zrikas adam is not any less severe than these items are. In other words, bosor lefnei zrika is also not edible in the sense that it's not legally edible. These things are not edible because they're physically not edible. But if we see that something that's physically not edible and yet it's categorized as something that contracts tumah, then certainly in the case of basar, sacrificial meat, before Zrikas Adam. With this in mind, we continue in the Gemara. V'rovo amar machlokes betumas aguf. The machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, is concerned with someone who is himself tomei, eating from sacrificial meat before Zrikas Adam. Avo betumas bosor, however, when dealing with the meat that's tomei, divre hakol eino loke, everyone will agree that there is no malchus for eating the meat of korbanos before eating the meat of korbanos that became tomei before Zrikas Adam. As we continue in the Gemara, we ask my taimo, why is it that tumas bosor, everyone will agree that there's no malchus if it became tomei before Zrikas Adam? My taimo, kevan to lo karino bei the tum osoy olov v'nichrusa, since it doesn't subject itself to a penalty of kores, lo karino be vabosar asher yiga b'chol tome lo yochal. So the lav of vabosar asher yiga b'chol tome, the meat that comes into contact with any tuma, also cannot be applied. In other words, the pasuk that says vabosar shiga b'chol tome lo yochal, that is only after zrikas hadam took place, and it's only that kind of meat that could possibly lead to a kores penalty. But meat that can't lead to a kores penalty is not included under the heading of vabosar shiga b'chol tome lo yochal. The Gemara asks, but why should the meat before Zrikas Hadam be treated any more leniently than Eitzim and Lavona? V'ha'amar mar, v'ha'bosar, did we not say earlier, if we just glance back, we have arrows to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you parallel this arrow with the previous arrow, you'll see that that was pointing to a line of Gemara that was explaining why Tumas Bosar, where the meat became Tomei before Zrikas Adam, everyone will agree that there's Malkos. And we saw that we even penalize or punish one who eats wood or Lavona, which aren't even edible. So all the more so we should punish one who gives, in other words, we should give malchus to one who eats the meat of a korban before Zrikas Hadam. So that's the Gemara's question right now. V'homar mar, v'habosor l'rabbi seitzim ulevona. Did we not say that earlier? That the word v'habosor of the posa came to include eitzim and ulevona. So in simple terms, how is it that we would treat with greater severity the consumption of eitzim and ulevona more so than the consumption of meat that became tomei before Zrikas Hadam? The Gemara answers, there is a basis for making such a distinction. Hocha b'mayaskinon, kegoin shikitshei b'kli, the situation of the Eitzim and Lavona becoming subject to tuma and hence prohibited from being eaten is a case where they were sanctified in service vessels. Denase kemi shekorvu kol matirov, and as a result of that, it's as if all of the matirim were offered. This is I would call this a borrowed expression. Disnan, we will see an application of this idea momentarily of korvu kol matirov. This is in the, we have a Tanaic source being cited, and you can see that it's in a frame, as are all Tanaic sources. This is in a case where the person was himself Tomei, and it says, Kol shiyesh lo matirin, all things that have a matir. A matir is something that makes something else allowed. In other words, a korban meat becomes allowed when the dam is sprinkled. So when does the prohibition of eating meat, betumas aguf, when the person himself is tamei, when does the prohibition set in? So this source is telling us anything that has a matir, when the matir was offered, mishikorvu matirov. So meat of a korban has a matir, that's the blood. So we say that when the blood is sprinkled, so then the meat falls under the prohibition of being eaten by someone who himself is tamei. Kol she'ein lo matirin, things that don't have a matir. Now, an example of that we mentioned already, the wood or lavona. These things don't have a matir. So when do they become forbidden for someone who is tomei? Mishe kidesh bekli. And this explains the term that was mentioned just a few lines above when we were asking how is it that Eitzim and Lavona are treated more seriously than meat before the Zrikas Hadam. So we explain, because the Eitzim and Lavona were sanctified in service vessels. This puts them on a higher rung, so to speak, a higher level of severity than meat of a sacrifice before the blood was offered. And that was the point of bringing in this last Tanaic source, that the meat, in order for it to become subject to prohibition, it needs to have the dam sprinkled. Before that, it's not subject to the prohibition of tumas aguf. And like, however, with the case of things that don't have a matir, eitzim and lavona, the wood and the incense, those things are prohibited once they are sanctified in their respective service vessels. So as we look back at the sukya, we can glance at the chart we have on the side. We saw a machlokas Abaye and Rava in their approach to the machlokas Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So if we look at the chart, we notice Abaye's name to the extreme right column, and he points out that under the Tumas Aguf column, you see machlokas. By the way, if you look at Rava in that same column, you'll see there's agreement. They both agree that when dealing with the Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan argue what is the din with regard to someone who himself is Tomei, who eats the meat before Zrikas Adam. If we continue on the chart, the next column after the Tumas Aguf column is entitled Tumas Bosar, and that's the case of someone who was Tohor, who ate meat of a korban that became Tomei before Zrikas Adam. Abaye says Divrei HaKol Loike. Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish will say there is Malkus, and Rava, under those circumstances, everyone agrees there is no Malkus. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a slash mark which indicates that which follows is a new idea. To appreciate what the Gemara is going to discuss, let's look at our topic heading and structural note that you find on the side. First of all, we have a Roman numeral 1 and 2, and you can see that indicated in the Gemara itself. To the immediate right-hand side of the text, you see a Roman numeral number 1, and a number of lines later, if you skim down, you see a number 2. These represent Shnei Lishoinois B'machlokis Reish Lakish Reb Yochanan. The two Lishonos are introduced by a volcano marking or trapezoid shape around the word Itmar, and then when you skim down the page to the Roman numeral number 2, you'll see another trapezoid form around the word Itmar. We've explained in a concise fashion, number 1, in our little note on the side, number 1, Hamale Evore Behemo Temeo Agabi Hamizbeach, Legabi Malkus, the offering of the limbs of an unacceptable or unkosher type animal. Unkosher type animal, we can say a horse as an example. So one who would bring the limbs of a horse on the Mizbeach, what is the din? Is there a penalty of Malkos or not? The second Lashon of the Gemara will Hamala Evore Chaya, Legabi Oiver Ba'aseh, one who brings onto the altar the limbs of a kosher variety undomesticated animal. The common example of that would be a deer. Deer is a kosher type animal. However, it's classified as a chaya as opposed to a behemo, a chaya being an undomesticated type animal. What is the din if one offers on the temple, on the Beis HaMikdash Mizbeach, the altar, limbs of a deer? So we'll see a machlokes, but the issue is not one of malchus. Everyone will agree there's no malchus, there's no lashing for that. The machlokes will be concerned with whether there is a violation of a positive command. The positive command being that one should offer a kosher variety domesticated animal. What happens if one doesn't do that but offers a kosher variety undomesticated animal? Turning now to the Gemara, Itmar, Hamala Evori Behemo Tmeo Agabi Hamizbeach. One who offers on the limbs of an unkosher variety animal, let's say the limbs of a horse, on the Mizbeach. Reish Lakish Omar Loike. Reish Lakish says there's a lash penalty of lashing. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Eino Loike. He says there is no lashing. Reish Lakish Omar Loike. How does he come to that conclusion? Tehoiro in Tameo Lo. The Pasuk says, Min HaBokor Umin HaTzon Takrivu. We've written that in between the lines. The Torah expects us to offer on the altar animals that are classified as Bokor and Tzon. And we infer that, yes, Tameo Lo, and not the limbs of unkosher variety animals. the lav habo miklal asay loikin olav. And Reish Lakish at this point in the Gemara claims that a negative command that is derived from an inference drawn from a positive command is classified as lash worthy. In other words, we would treat it as we would most other negative commands. Other negative commands, or in general we say violation of a lav, of a negative command, results in a lash penalty of lashing. What about that which is a negative command derived from an inference from a positive command? So Reish Lakish says we treat it the same way. Hence, there is Malkus. Continuing in the Gemara of Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Loikin Olav. There is no Malkus for this type of offense. Lav Habo Michlal Asay Ein Loikin Olav. He's of the opinion of negative commands that are derived from positive commands do not have the status of a formal negative command. Hence, there is no Malkus. Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya will be raising a question on Reish Lakish. This source, it's a Tanaic source, as you can see, it's in a frame, as we treat all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system, deals with a pasuk that talks about Mafreses Parsu Malas Gera, and it says Oiso Tochelu. The pasuk in Sefer Vayikra is describing the signs of animals that are considered kosher variety animals, and they must be with a split hoof and raising of their cud. And the pasuk says, "Oso tochelu," that is what you are allowed to eat. Now we would infer from that expression, "Veloi behema tamea," and not an unkosher variety animal. Once again, these you can eat, and we infer, but not the unkosher variety animal. They don't have the characteristics of split hoof and raising of cud. The lav habo michal asay, asay. And a negative command that's derived from an inference made from a positive command has the status of an asay, has the status of a positive command. And we know, as a general rule, that one who violates a positive command does not get Malkos. So we have a source here that would support Rabbi Yochanan, but pose a problem for Reish Lakish. Hence, Rabbi Yirmiya was raising a question on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish said that alav habo michlal asay is loikin alav, which means we treat it as a negative command. Here, the source says that a negative command inferred from a positive has the status of an asay, hence ein loikin. Omale Rabbi Yankov le Rabbi Yirmiya bar Tachlifa. Asbrolach, Rabbi Yankov offers to Rabbi Yirmiya, I will explain things to you. In other words, the kasha, the question that we're coming off of, is very strong. And Rabbi Yankov offers an explanation to get out of this particular problem. He says as follows, Be'evore behemo tamea dekule alma lo pligi. With regard to the offering on the altar, the limbs of a behemoth tamea, everyone will agree that it has the status of an asay. In other words, if one were to do it, he's in violation of a dictate that has the status of an asay, and that's all. In other words, there's an asay violation, and there's no malchus. Ki pligi, if there is any machlokus, you'll find a machlokus between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan concerning something else. And up till now, Rabbi Yochanan was presented as the lenient opinion. We will now have that switched around as well, that Rabbi Yochanan will be the stricter opinion. So he goes on to say, Ki pligi b'chaya. Their argument concerns the offering of the limbs of a chaya, undomesticated kosher variety animal. However, their machlokus has nothing to do with the issue of malchus, because that's not in the running. The machlokus we're concerned is this considered a violation of a positive command. V'hochi itmar, and thusly their machlokus appears. And we mentioned already, and we'll mention it again, that in this case, in this presentation, Rabbi Yochanan will be the stricter opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, oiver ba'asei. He who offers the limbs of a kosher variety undomesticated animal on the altar is in violation of a positive command. Reish Lakish Omar Eino Over Bevelo Klum. He hasn't violated anything. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Oiver Basay, And how does he come to that conclusion? Behemo in chayolo. We have a posuk, and you can see it's quoted on the side. Vayikra aleph posuk beis. It says, "Daber al bnei Israel, v'yamarta lehem." Speak unto the people of Israel and tell them, "Odom ki akriv mikem korban lashem," that when one is going to offer a sacrifice to the Almighty, "min habehemo, min habokor, umin atzon, takrivu es korbanchem." You have the option of offering it from these kinds of creatures. Now, these creatures are domesticated animals. The behemo, bokor, tzon, these terms, especially the terms bokor and tzon, are clear references to domesticated type animals. So the Gemara is medayik from behemo, yes, chayo, not. Behemo being taken to mean domesticated type animals. That is what one does bring, but not chaya. So that's as we saw just above in the previous presentation, we saw that alav haboa michlala say, here you have a chaya lo is a negative command, but it's derived from a positive command. And we said above that everyone agrees that would be no more serious than a violation of an asay. And as such, it does not carry with it a punishment of malchus. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is a violation. It's a violation of a positive command. Reish Lakish Amar Eino Over Olav Bivalo Klum Ahu LeMitzvah. The offering of undomesticated kosher variety chaya limbs on the mizbeach, he's not considered in violation of anything. The Torah, when it says, bring a behemoth from Boker and Tzon, hahula mitzvah, that's the choice way, the best way to do something. However, if you don't do it that way, and you bring a chaya is considered it's an option, but it's not the proper, it's not the best way to do it. Mosiv Rava. We're now going to bring in a Tanaic source that continues till the first word on the Amid Beis. This is brought in as a kasha on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish just got finished saying that the offering of chaya limbs do not pose any problem whatsoever. Well, let's evaluate that. Mosiv Rava. Rava asks, and we've also pointed out that this is a long question, as you can see from the long question marking you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a circled kuf, a kushia, with a vertical dashed line, which also continues to the top of the next omid. This is a standard situation where the kasha basically is included in a Tanaic source. There's no further Gemara commentary in order to appreciate the question. The source begins, Ilu ne'emar korban lashem behemo. If that's what the pasuk would have said, and did not spell out bokor v'tzon, hayisi omer, I would have thought that by the pasuk saying korban lashem behemo, chaya bichlal behemo, that the undomesticated is included in the term behemo. Ke'inyin shenamar. In fact, there's a pasuk that would bolster this idea. Zois ha-behema asher tochelu. This pasuk is coming in a section of the Torah that describes animals that are of a kosher variety. It starts off with, as its heading, the term behema. It says, this is the behema that you shall consume. And now, the pasuk itself enumerates specific types of animals. Shor, se, kisavim, vese, izim, ox, sheep, goats, ayol, utzvi. Now, an ayol and tzvi include things like deer. Those are undomesticated. What do we see from this? We see that the term behema itself includes not only cow, sheep, and goats, it includes things like deer. So had the pasuk said simply korban lashem behema without further specification, I would have thought that the word behema includes deer, and the pasuk that we cited in Vayikra Aleph, Pasuk Beis, would have said that you can bring as a korban the undomesticated as well. Well, Talmud Lomar, that is precluded. That's excluded by the terms Bokor Vetzon. The Pasuk, and we read it before, you can see we've included this on the side of the Gemara. It said that you shall speak to Israel and you tell them, Adam Kiakrif Mikem, Korban Lashem, Min HaBehemo, Min HaBokor Umin HaTzon. It doesn't, the word HaBehemo doesn't suffice as far as clarification is concerned. The Pasuk goes on to be more specific and says, Min HaBokor Umin HaTzon. And that's what the source is telling us, Talmud Lomar, Bokor Vetzon, Omar Tiloch, Velo Chaya. The Almighty is telling us, bring from cows and light cattle, sheep and goats, and not from chayas, not from the undomesticated. Yocho lo yovi vim hevi kosher. Could it be that okay, we're not expected to bring it, but if one would bring it, it would be acceptable. It'll be kosher as a sacrifice. Skipping a couple lines that are in brackets for a moment. Talmud Lomar Bokor Vetzon. Bokor Vetzon Amarti Loch Veloy Chaya. The question was that maybe if you, though we're not commanded to bring the chaya, but if you would bring it, it would be kosher. So to that, when we skip the brackets, we see the Torah says Bokor Vetzon. There is an insistence on Bokor Vetzon and not to bring chaya, so that if one were to bring a chaya, it wouldn't be kosher, wouldn't be acceptable. The Bryce itself will go on to give an analogy to appreciate what through an analogy to appreciate what the Almighty is expecting of us. Let's now go back over the Gemara with the bracketed section. We see a double underline with dots in it. It's to highlight the expression Lema Ze Doime, because we will see this expression twice, so we want to see how the second presentation contrasts with the first presentation. The Gemara in the source in the bracket says Ho Lema Ze Doime. This command of bringing Bokor Vetzon and not chayas, to what can we parallel this? L'talmid sh'omar lo'i rabbi hovei li chitim. A student whose master asked him, bring for me some wheat. Bearing in mind, we are using this as an analogy to the command in the Torah, bring for me behemoths as sacrifices. And we carry on with the analogy. The hevi loy chitim usorim. After he was asked to bring chitim, the Talmud brings wheat and barley. Once again, he was asked to bring wheat, and he brings wheat and barley. She'eno kemavir al dvora velo maisiv al dvora v'kosher. I might have thought that the case of one who brings a chaya is like this student who brought wheat and barley. In other words, he was asked to bring wheat. He brought barley. In our case, he was asked to bring from a behemoth. He brought a chaya. So maybe we should look at this as being the bringing of the chaya simply adding to the command. He's adding to what the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, expects. And as such, there's no catastrophe, no problem. You're just adding Talmud Lomar, Bokor Vetzon. Therefore, the Torah doesn't use just the word behema. It adds the terms Bokor Vetzon. To tell me, Bokor Vetzon, Omarti Loch V'lo Chaya, I am expecting you to bring from cows, sheep, and goats, and not from the undomesticated. Ha Lemaze Doime, to bring an analogy to which this is comparable, a Talmud Shomar Loi Rabo Al Tovi Li Elochitim. A Talmud, a student who was instructed by his master, bring for me only wheat. Vehevi loi chitim usoirim. And he brought wheat and barley. Sheino kemoisif al dvarav. He's not simply adding to the request. Elokimavir Aldvarov Uposel. He is violating the request. The request was to bring only chitim. If he brings chitim and seorim, he is in violation of the request, and hence it's not acceptable. The same thing with regard to the chaya. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, asked us to bring for sacrifices only from cows, sheep, and goats, and not from chayas. And if one does, so he is in violation. Tiyufta de Reish Lakish. Tiyufta. This is a certain repudiation of Reish Lakish's position. Reish Lakish had said that if he brings a chaya, he is not in violation of anything. But from the source, and especially the analogy, you can see that he is in violation if he were to bring a chaya. The kulon shekiblu v'chulei. Bo minei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Posel mahu shiyase shirayim. A person who is unacceptable to perform the service, the sacrificial service, is a posel lavoda. Let us say a posel did do the avoda. Let's say he was makabel the dam and did the zrika. Can a kosher kohen, an acceptable kohen, turn around and, let us say that there's still lifeblood in the animal's neck, can a kosher kohen, after a posel did the kabbalah and zrika, can a kosher kohen come and fix the situation by using the remaining dam hanefesh that's in the tzavur habehema, or not? Now, if we say that not, we're basically saying that the action done by the posel makes the remaining blood shirayim. Shirayim is an expression that would indicate that the remaining blood is no longer useful. So that was the question Reish Lakish posed to Rabbi Yochanan. Does the action of a posel avoda make any remaining blood shirayim? This, by the way, is noted by our markings with a Roman numeral number 1. Let's glance at the side of our Gemara before we go into the Gemara itself any further. We have a nosei, a topic heading, and an indication of Roman numeral 1 through 3. These represent Gimel Lashonos B'mahu HaSheila, 3 versions as to what the question that Reish Lakish posed to Rabbi Yochanan was. So the first we already read, that's number 1, Posel Ma Shiyase Shirayim, the actions of an unqualified individual. What effect does that have on the remaining blood? Does it render it unfit? Does it render it shirayim or not? Number 2, Kais Posel Ma Shiyase Shirayim. What about a cup of blood, the kli, the vessel that contains the blood? Something went wrong. We'll see more details when we get to that in the Gemara. Does it have the effect of making any remaining dam shirayim? Number 3, kois mahu shiase es chavero dochui o shirayim. The question there will be not regarding the remaining blood in the neck of the animal, but a situation where blood was gathered from the slaughtering of the animal in a couple of cups, a couple of vessels. If one cup is used, what effect does that have on the other koisis, the other vessels containing the dam? So, turning back to the Gemara, the first question was, someone who is unqualified for doing the avoda, and he does it. What effect does that have on the remaining blood in the animal? Can it still be used or not? Omar lei. So Rabbi Yochanan answers, Ein lecha zrika oisa shirayim, ela chutz lezmano v'chutz lemekoymoi, hoyu umaratze lepigulo. Problematic zrikos hadam do not render the remaining blood unfit. unless the problematic sprinkling was, unless its problem was that it was done with a chutz lizmano or a chutz limkomo mindset. In other words, that when, if someone did the zrikas adam with a machshava to eat the meat of the korban outside of the right place or after the proper time lapses, that would ruin the korban. That would create, in the case of chutz lizmano, it would make the korban pigul. So it's a type of improper sprinkling of dam that has an effect. It's a very negative effect, but it has an effect. The effect being that the meat would then become chayav bekores if one were to eat it. So since it has an effect, in other words, we can say it leaves its mark, so to speak, therefore any remaining blood would be rendered shirayim, and hence could not be used for further zrika. However, if you have other situations of improper sprinkling that don't leave their mark, so the blood left in the animal could still be used. And that would be the case of an unqualified individual who does the zrikas adam. There's no practical outcome of that, other than someone who's unfit did the avoda. The blood left in the animal could still be used, could be used to repair the situation. Rav Zvid Masni Hochi Bo Mine Reish Lakish Rav Yochanan. Rav Zvid has a different version. He says, thusly, Reish Lakish asked of Rav Yochanan, Kais Posel Mahu Shiyas Shirayim. A kais posel would be a case where after the blood of the korban was received, it was then taken outside of the temple courtyard, outside of the azora. And then a kohen kosher, a kosher kohen, came and he used that posel dam for zrika. Well, the blood itself is rendered unfit. The question is, what is the story with the blood that remains in the animal, the dam hanefesh that remains in the animal? Could that still be used? Or do we say that the fact that the kois posel was used for zrika, it renders the remaining blood in the animal shirayim, and there would be no further takona, no further repair possible? Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yochanan answers. Notice, this is a four-line answer. It's a long answer, and we've indicated that with the long answer marking, a tuff that's encircled with a vertical dashed line to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. The lines of Gemara opposite the vertical dashed line form the answer. Rabbi Yochanan says, Posel gufe my svirolach. What do you hold with regard to an individual who is posel, an unqualified individual that does the zrika? What is your stance with regard to the remaining blood in the animal after he does the zrika? Posel gufe my sviraloch. E posel mashvi shirayim. If a person who is posel, that through his actions he renders the remaining blood shirayim and hence unuseful. Kais posel nami mashvi shirayim. Well, we'll apply the same approach to the vessel of blood that was rendered unfit. In the case of, we described above, the blood that went outside the azora and then was used for zrika. E posel lo mashvi shirayim. If an individual who is unqualified does not render the remaining blood as shirayim, which we described as unfit, kois posel nami lo mashvi shirayim. The use of the ruined dam also will not have any effect on the remaining blood in the animal's neck. Rabbi Yirmiyo midifti masni hochi. This is a third approach to these questions. Bo mine abaye me rabo. Kois mahu shiyase es chaveroi dochui oi shirayim. We have a new expression now, dochui, and we have the expression shirayim, which we have seen before. The difference between something that's dochui in this particular sugya, dochui would mean that the blood that is categorized as dochui wouldn't be spilled at the base of the mizbeach. It would be spilled in a stream that flowed out of the azora. It's called the amo, name of a ditch that had water in it flowing outside of the base hamikdash. That's the amo was a ditch designed to carry things, carry liquids out of the base hamikdash. There's another possibility that it would be, in this case, it would be rendered shirayim. Dam, that is categorized as shirayim in this particular discussion, would be dam that is spilled at the it's not going to be used for zrikas adam, but it'll be spilled at the base of the mizbeach. To appreciate the question, we must look at Rashi. Kois, Rashi, you see across from here, kois mao shiase es chavero dochui o shirayim, kegoin. Chatos shekibel doma b'shnei koisos. The example would be a chatos type sacrifice whose blood was received in two vessels. The nosan kol matnuisov me'echod mehem, and all of the blood applications, the chatos dam is applied to the four corners of the mizbeach, so all of the blood applications were done from one of the koisos. Chavero, the other cup, shirayim hu. The nishbach le'yesod, is it classified as shirayim and hence spilled to the yesod, the base of the mizbeach, dechtiv as kol adam yishpoch, oy dochui hu, or is it called dochui, didachye biyodayim, he pushed it aside by not using it, shelo nitan nimenu al hakronos, he, by not using it, it's as if he cast it aside, and being cast aside, the yishpoich la'amo shabazora hamotzio domim lenachal kidron, and that, if it's dochui, if it's categorized as dochui, would be spilt into that ditch that carried the blood out of the base hamigdash to the Kidron Valley. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Le, Rabba answers, Plukta de Rabbi Elozer de Rabbi Shimon for Rabbonan hi. The answer to your question essentially is a Tanaic controversy between Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Rabbanan. Desanya, we have a source. You can see that it's all in frame, in a frame. And in this source, you will see two opinions. The source makes a reference to two psukim. The first pasuk is by a so'ir nasi, the sin offering brought by the king, and the second pasuk cited would be with a private sin offering, a chatas yochid. There's a very minor change that will be featured, in other words, a distinction between the two psukim, and based on that distinction, we'll develop a whole machlokas in the source. Before we go further in the source, let's take a sneak preview to what we'll learn by looking at the side of the Gemara under the Nosei heading, Liyashev Shnei Psukim, to resolve or to align two Psukim, one, V'es Kol Domo Yishpoich El Yisoid, etc. And we've squiggled on the word Kol to draw your attention to that word. The second pasuk says, "V'es domo yishpoich el yisoid." The mashma sheyesh dam shenishbach la'amo. The first pasuk says, "All of the blood is spilled on the yisod, on the base of the mizbeach." The second pasuk doesn't say all of the blood; it says some blood is on the base of the mizbeach, giving room for one to think that there is blood that doesn't go on the base but goes to the ditch. Desanya, back into the Gemara. Lemala hu omer. Lemala means in the earlier section by the Soyer Nasi, it says, V'es domoy yishpoich El Yisoid Mizbeach Ha'Oila. Lemata Hu Omer, by the Chatas Yochid it says, V'es Kol Domo Yishpoich El Yisoid HaMizbeach. Tupsukim, bear them in mind. Now we go on in the source. Minayin lechatas shikibel domo ba'arbo kuisis. From where do we know the case of someone who received the sin offering blood in four separate cups? V'nosan matonachas mizeh, matonachas mizeh. We mentioned earlier that a sin offering's blood is offered on the four corners of the Mizbeach in the Azara. In this case, he received the animal's blood not in one cup as normally would be done. He had four cups available, switching them one after the other while the blood was flowing out of the animal. And he used each one of the four cups for a separate application of the dam on the Mizbeach. From where do we know shekulon nishpochen layesoid, that all of these cups, namely the blood that remains in them after there was the singular application from each one, from where do we know that they, all four cups remaining blood, is spilled to the base of the Mizbeach? Talmud lomar v'es kol damo yishpoich. Yochol Nosan arba matonas mikais echad yukulon nishpochen yisod. Would we say the same thing where he did all of the matonas from one cup? Once again, he had four cups of blood, but he used only one of them for all four applications. What about the other three kaises? Are they also going to go onto the yisod? Talmud lomar v'es domoi. This is the first pasuk we saw above, without the word kol in it. It's a different pasuk. What do I make of it, that it doesn't have the inclusive expression of kol in it? Ha'ketzad. So what is done in this case when the four blood applications were done from only one cup and the three other cups were not used? Hu nishpach liyasod. The remaining blood in that cup that was used is spilled on the base. The hein nishpochen la'amo. The other cups that weren't used are spilled out into the ditch. And we've written in very appropriately, we see from here, the kois oises chaveru dochui. There is the power in a cup rendering the others totally unfit, totally cast aside, and hence their fate is the spilling in the ditch. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin lechatas shekibel doma ba'arba koisis v'nosan arba matonos mekois echod shekulo nishpochen layesoid. He, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, has a different opinion. If we use our markings to help us navigate a little bit, notice we've dashed underlined kois echod, and we did the same thing a few lines up. A few lines up, when all four matonos were done from one kois, what was the outcome? The other cups were, and you can see there's a diagonal slashed line above. It said, "Hei nishpochen la'amo." We have the same case here, where all the blood was given from kois echod. And let's read on. Shekula nishpochen la'yasod. In this case, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the same case as above is treated differently. The other three cups are spilled to the base of the Mizbeach. So from where do you know that? Talmud lomar v'es kol domo yishpoch. All of the blood is to be spilled to the base of the Mizbeach. Now, it certainly stands to reason that according to Rabbi Shimon, that if in a case of cups that weren't used at all, they will be spilled to the Yisod. The case where each cup was used, the remnant blood in that case will certainly be spilled to the Yisod. The question then is, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, in both cases, whether one cup was used, and we said certainly if all cups were used, the blood goes to the Yisod, and that's incorporated in the Pasuk, V'es kol domo yishpoch. What does he do with the other Pasuk, V'hok si V'es domo yishpoch? which according to the Tana Kama was taught us that Kois Oisa Chaveru Dochui. According to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon, we don't see any scenario of Dochui. We see all the two scenarios that we portrayed according to Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. There's no Dochui. Dochui would have meant it goes to the ditch, but rather everything seems to be Shirayim. Omer Ravashi. Ravashi answers, when will there be a sense of Dochui? Hahu, the case, or the pasuk that says, as Domo Yishboch, Hahu lim ute Shirayim shebetzavor behemo. This is coming to exclude the remaining blood that's in the neck of the animal. That blood, the remaining lifeblood that's in the neck of the animal, that would go la'amo. Once again, that blood, the blood that's in the tzavar behemo, becomes, let's say, amo destined by the fact that the zrikas hadam was accomplished with the blood in the kosis that had the dam that was received beforehand. Continuing in the Gemara, Kibel HaKosher V'Nosan L'Posel, in our Mishnah we had three cases of something that started off all right, but in the interim something incorrect took place, and the Mishnah said in each one of those cases there was a takona. So, for example, in the case of Kibel HaKosher V'Nosan L'Posel, the Mishnah said Yasser L'Kosher, give it back to the kosher, the qualified person to do the avoda. Or we had a case, the second case was if the dam was received while holding the vessel in your right hand, and then you passed it from your right hand to the left hand, put it back in your right hand, the correct hand for avoda. And the third example was that if the blood was received in a sanctified vessel, which is the right thing, but then it was poured into a kli chol, a mundane vessel, an unsanctified vessel. So the Mishnah says it should be poured back into a kli kodesh, a sanctified vessel. The question confronting the Gemara is, what do I need all three examples to tell me that there is a takona, that there is a repair for these situations? And we've also entitled this Gemara on the side under our Nosei heading, Tzrichusa Legimol Hadugmos Shel Maisa Kabbalah Sheish Lahem Takona Bechazora. The three examples of Kabbalah that encountered a problem that have a method of repair. So the Gemara says, Utzricha, I need to be taught each case. In other words, I could not teach one of them and be expected to derive the others. The E Ashmeinan Posel, the case of Kibel Kosher V'Nosan L'Posel, where a qualified individual did the Kabbalah and gave it to an unqualified person, that it's returned to the kosher and that it has a takona. Have Amino, I would have thought my posel. I would have thought that the term posel tome refers to a koyin that's tome. And you know why that situation has a takona? The chazi la'avoda sipor, because there is a precedent for tome to do the avoda in the first place, and that's a case where rove of the tzibor is tome, or rove of the kohanim are tome. In such a case where the majority are tome, a tome is able to do the avoda. So I would think that the term posel used in the Mishnah is a reference to someone who is tome. And since there is a precedent for a tome to do the avoda, in the event that a tome does the avoda when he's not supposed to, there is a takona. Avol smoil lo, passing something into the left hand, I would say maybe that has no point of return. The Ashminan smoil, and if I would tell you that smoil does have a takona, have a way to you can repair it by putting it back in the right hand, I'll tell you why. Because putting it in the left hand in the first place isn't a major catastrophe. The Islay Hechshera B'Yom HaKippurim, because as part of the Yom Kippur service, the left hand was used. So since we find the Kohen in that case it's the Kohen Gadol using his left hand as part of the Yom Kippur service. So in general, having the dam placed in the vessel containing the dam placed into the left hand isn't so bad, and therefore it has a takona. But where the blood was spilled from a holy vessel into a mundane vessel, I would think that that has no repair. And if I would tell you that the case of it being poured into a kli chol has a repair, and the repair being that the dam is then transferred back into the kli kodesh, I'll tell you why that's not so bad. Mishum dechazu lekedushinu, because the mundane vessel itself could have been sanctified. Avol hanoch emalo, but cases 1 and 2, I would have thought they have no takona, tsricha. Therefore, each case has to be taught. The Gemara asks, the lehevei lei dochui. Since each one of these cases started off in a proper way, in the interim, it was improper. That's called nira v'nidcha. Nira means it appeared, meaning it appeared positively. And then nidcha, and then it experienced a situation of being unfit. In general, our approach to nira v'nidcha is that it has no repair. So why don't we apply that principle over here? Of nira v'nidcha, it should be considered nidcha. Before we go further in the Gemara, we'll notice some of our markings. We have, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, a 1 in a diamond. And a few lines later, you see a number 2. To the right-hand margin of our Gemara, the outside margin, we have a Nosei and Mivneh heading to accompany this sugya. So we see a diamond featured, and we've written in Shnei Tshuvois, 2 answers, La Sheila Lehevei Lei Dichoi. Why not consider the cases of the Mishnah as being rendered unfit? Oisoi Dam Shiskabo Bekashrus V'acharkach Nidche. Dam that was received properly and then was in an improper situation, lomo yesh lo takona b'chazora. Why is there any way of repairing this? As we said, there is a principle of nira v'nidcha. When something was once qualified and then became disqualified, it remains disqualified. Omar lay back into the Gemara. Omar lay Ravino le Ravashi. Hochi Omar Rav Yirmiyah midifti mishmei de Rava. Thusly, Rav Yirmiyah reported in the name of Rava Ha'amani, our Mishnah is according to whom? Chonon HaMitzri who? It's taught by Chonon HaMitzri, the Les Lei Dichuyin. This is a unique shita that simply holds that things that are not cast away. In other words, it's a type of approach that suggests that there's always, if there's a possible takona, we will use the takona and not cast things away. The Sanya. Now we have a Tanaic source that features his opinion. His opinion is stated in the context of the Soyer Hanase Bifnim and the Soyer Hamishtaleach. These are 2 goat offerings. There were 2 goats that were brought as part of the Yom Kippur service. One goat, there were lots drawn to designate one goat as being designated for a sacrifice. It was a chatos tzibur, chatos to atone for the people. And the second goat, if the that received the lot for Azazel, was sent outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, to a cliff where it was pushed off. That's called the Sor HaMishtaleach. Let's say something goes wrong with one of these 2 sacrifices, or one of these 2 goats in the Yom Kippur, on Yom Kippur day. So what do you do with that which remains? Chonon HaMitzri, reading the source, he says, Afilu dam bekois. Let us say that they had slaughtered animal designated, known as the Sori Lashem, that was the one of the two goats, the one that was designated as a result of drawing the Goyrol, that designated it as a sacrifice. It was slaughtered properly. The dam was in the cup, and before they did the Zrikas Adam, the Sori Mishtaleach, the goat that was supposed to be sent out, it dropped dead. What does Chonon HaMitzri say? He says, listen, the dam in the kois, you have to preserve that. Mevi chavero umezafeglo, you simply bring a replacement goat for the one that died, for the mishtaleach that died prematurely. What does this show us? It shows us that even though it's not living anymore, the Sori HaMishtaleach, all you have is the dam in the kois, the dam, just the blood in the receiving vessel. We are not going to cast it away, and all you do is you bring a replacement animal for the Sori HaMishtaleach. By looking in Rashi, which we will do, we will be exposed to two other opinions, a total of three opinions on this topic of dochui, of dichui. So let's look at Rashi, the Dibur Masel B'Kois. We said that if the Sawyer HaNaseh B'Fnim, which is the Sawyer LaShem, was slaughtered properly, and the blood is in the cup, B'Kois, Rashi goes on, Umei Samishtaleach, and the goat designated to be sent away dies, Lo Nidche Hadam, we are not going to cast away the blood from the Sori Lashem, Elo Mevi Sawyer Acher, all they do is bring one other goat, Umezaveg, and pair it up, the Hadam, to the blood in the cup, the Kosher Hadam the Matnoisov. And the blood that's in the cup that was from the original Sori Lashem is to be used for its applications. V'zeh yishtalech, and the new animal, the replacement goat, will be sent away. V'loshen afilu denoka, in the source we read, said afilu dam b'kois. What afilu means even in this case. Mishum d'shloishim achloikus b'davar. There are three opinions concerning this case. Ikol aman to Omar afilu ba'alei chayim nitchim. There is another extreme shita that says even living animals can be cast away. Dikotoni, there is a Mishnah that says v'im mishehigril meis echol mehem, if after they drew the lots and thereby designated one being a Sori Lashem and the other being vazos, they ought to be sent away. And after they did this, one of the two animals dropped dead. Yovi shnayim v'yagri aleim kibatchilo v'nishar yidche. This opinion says you have to bring two new animals, draw the lots on them, and that animal that remained from the original pair is rendered disqualified. That's a shita that holds even living animals can be disqualified. The ikol leman d'amar, there's another opinion that says maybe chavero shelo b'hagrola, if you had the two animals that were designated and one of them dropped dead, the other one was still alive, you simply bring one other animal without doing the lots again. Why is that? The balei chayim ein nitchin, v'hagrola lo makfo, because this opinion holds that if the remaining animal is still alive, it's not cast away, and the idea of drawing lots to designate animals is not something that's an essential aspect, and hence by bringing a singular replacement animal, even though hagrola, drawing a lot, is not going to be done to it, that is a feature that's not binding. Avol, however, according to this second opinion, dam b'kois, if you had slaughtered the Sawyer LaShem, it's not living anymore because it was slaughtered and you received the blood in a cup, umeis hamishtaleach, and the animal to be sent away died before it was ever sent away, yishboi chadam, the dam that you had received, spill it out, tishchutin nidchin, v'ein chozrin v'nirin, something that had been fit but rendered unfit, that is, it doesn't come back to being fit. The idea of it's being rendered unfit is because the mishtaleach died. And what am I casting away, according to this opinion? The blood. I'm not casting away a living animal. The also chonan ha-mitzri lemeimar, chonan ha-mitzri is the opinion we saw, afilu dam b'kois, even with the blood in the cup, we're not going to spill it out. Nizavik le'achir, you simply bring a replacement animal to serve as the soya ha-mishtalech, the sent away goat. With that in mind, we appreciate our Mishnah that says that the blood that was initially received properly experienced an interim stage of being unfit or unqualified. Nevertheless, it can be requalified, repaired. That is in accordance with Chanan HaMitzri that says that even dam in a cup is not rendered unfit. Continuing now in the Gemara, Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ashi is a second approach. His approach will be that we're not going to set up our Mishnah according to or limit it to Chanan HaMitzri. We're going to say that our Mishnah represents a different opinion as follows. Rav Ashi Omar, Kol shebi yodoi lo havi dichui. A problematic situation that is within your capacity to repair, the fact that it's biyodo, it's in your capacity to repair, cases like that are not considered dochu, are not considered pushed off. The three cases in our Mishnah are all within one's capacity to repair. If one gave it to a puzzle, take it back from him. If one put it in your left hand, so switch it back to your right hand. If you poured it out of a holy vessel into a mundane vessel, so pour it back into the holy vessel. That is different than the case that we described it with Yom Kippur, that if, let us say, you had the dam in the kois and the Sor Mishtalech died, it's not, who says that someone is going to give you a new animal? Who says that you'll be successful in acquiring a new animal? The new animal, it's not in your possession. You're not in control of that. You need to have the seller or the animal provider to agree to give it to you. So Rav Ashi is telling us that the Mishnah is not according to Chanan HaMitzri, but it's based on the idea that dichui situations that are within your capacity to repair, with independent of anyone else, that is not considered dochui. Omar Rav Shai, Kavosed Rav Ashi Mistabro. The Rav Ashi approach is most likely. Before we go too much further, let's just note that we are beginning a long point, and this is indicated by the nun that's encircled that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of the point. So Rav Shai tells us that Rav Ashi's approach is most likely. Man shamis le de is le de chuyin. Who do we know to hold from doch dichui that something is cast away? Something is rendered unfit. Rabbi Yehuda, we know that to be Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Disnan. And we have this in the following Tanaic source. V'odam Rabbi Yehuda, Nishbach Adam, Yomus HaMishtaleach. If the blood of the Sor Lashem of Yom Kippur spills out, so the Mishtaleach, the animal, the other goat that was designated to be sent away, is to die. Since it did not survive, the dam that was supposed to be sprinkled on the Mizbeach got lost, in other words, it spilled out, so the Mishtaleach cannot be, the designated Mishtaleach cannot be used anymore. And similarly, Meis HaMishtaleach, if the goat to be sent away died prematurely before you did the sprinkling on the Mizbeach, so pour out the blood, Yishpoch Adam. The dam is to be poured out, and you have to start all over again. Get two new animals. So that is a shita. You see, Rabbi Yehuda holds from the concept of dichui, something is cast away. The Shaminon Le de Omar, and we know the same Rebuta to hold, Kol Shabiyad lo havidochui, situations that appear to be cast away, but since it's within your capacity to repair it, hence it's not labeled as dochui. Disanyo, we have a source that discusses the issue of the Korban Pesach. Rebuta Omer, Koy Secher Hoimimale, Midam Hataroivis, the Zorkos Riko Achas Kenegan Ayesoid. This is a situation that will be described in the Gemara at Fuller a little bit later, but Rebuta held that they would gather up from the floor of the Azora one cup during the 14th of Nisan. They would gather up a cup of blood and use that for the Zrikas Adam in anticipation or as a result of a chashash that one of the Korban Pesach's blood spilled out and was never used. So Reb Yehuda says that you can gather in a cup blood from the floor of the Azora and use it for Zrikas Adam to matir all of the Korban Pesach's. The idea of a Zrika Achas, by the way, is the din of a Korban Pesach sprinkling. In other words, as opposed to a Chatos, which is done on all four corners of the Mizbeach, the Korban Pesach was done only on one side of the Mizbeach, a point at which Keneged HaYesod, above which there was an altar foundation, which ran around essentially three sides of the Mizbeach. It covered three corners of the Mizbeach. Shmamino, we see from this, Kol Shabiyado, since he has the chance of gathering blood up from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Havaydochui, so if it so happened that one of the Korban Pesach's blood was never used, this will serve to repair the situation, and hence it's not cast away. Shmamino, so we see that even though a Shita may hold from Dochui, if it's within your capacity to repair the situation, it's not considered pushed away. The Gemara at this point will elaborate on the Korban Pesach din. Gufo, Tanya, we now will quote completion, we'll say in fullness, the source that was just cited. Reb Yehuda Omer, Kois Echon Hoy Memale Midam Hatarovis. The practice was on 14th of Nisan, there were many, many Korban Pesach sacrifices offered. They would gather a cup of dam from the floor of the Azora and use that as a final Zrikas Adam. Why did they do this? Shim Yishboch Echod Mehem Nimtso Shehu Machshiro. In the event that if one of the Korban Pesach cups of blood was spilled out, this blood that was gathered up from the floor would be suitable to machshir, to allow that Korban Pesach to repair, so to speak, that Korban Pesach whose blood spilled out. Amru lo the Rebbe Yehuda, skipping the bracketed section for a moment, Shema lo niskabel b'kli. How can you gather up blood from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash? Maybe the blood that you're gathering up was never received in a vessel. Maybe it's blood that flowed out of the necks of animals directly onto the floor, and that type of blood is not acceptable for Zrikas Adam. And we're relying on your gathering up blood in a kois to qualify as the Zrikas Adam. So you'd have to be gathering up acceptable blood. But if the blood was never mekubal b'kli, it would not be acceptable for this purpose. Let's go over the Gemara again with the bracketed section. Amru lo the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who introduced this idea of gathering up blood in a cup to repair any Korban Pesach that didn't experience its Zrikas Adam. They asked him, the rabbis asked him, V'halo lo niskabel b'kli. How can you gather up blood from the floor? The blood that you're gathering up was never in a receiving vessel. So to this, the reaction is Minol Yadi. How can you say that? From where do you know that this dam that was that you're gathering up now on the latter part of the 14th of Nisan, how do you know, how can you declare that it was not received in a vessel and then spilled out? Elo, so the repaired or the correct expression or the correct question should be like this: Elo Shema lo niskabel bekli. With all good intentions you may have, maybe the blood that you're gathering up from the floor of the Azorah of the Beis Hamikdash, maybe, as opposed to a definitive statement, but maybe it was never received in a vessel, and it's blood that spilled directly from the neck of the animals that were slaughtered onto the floor, and as such the blood that I'm gathering up would not be suitable for this repair, for the Zrikas Adam that I'm trying to accomplish. Omar Lahan, so Rabbi Yehuda said back, Af ani lo omarti elo kishiniskabel bekli. I too am saying my idea only in the case that the blood was received in a vessel initially properly. So the Gemara asks, the hu gufe minol yoda, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that the blood that is being gathered up was received initially in a vessel? So the Gemara answers, koyanim zrizin. There's a Shita Mekubetzes, Os Aleph, that adds a few more words to this little piece of Gemara. If you glance there, you'll see, he says, koyanim, it says zrizin hain, the koyanim are diligent. So we're now reading from the Shita Mekubetzes, is reason hain, if they're so diligent, ishtapuchi nami lo mishtapich, so then nothing should spill out. So how can you talk about blood that spilled out? So the answer is, agav this reason, since they are so diligent, part of their diligence is avdin hey, back into the Gemara text, you see v'avdin hey, they work quickly, and as a result of their haste being an outgrowth of their diligence, as a result of the haste, something could be pushed over umishtapchen and spill out. The Gemara asks, v'halo dam hatantzis mu'urov bo, but is it not so that after the kavolas adam, after the lifeblood of the animal flows out of its neck into the receiving vessels, there's more dam, there's more blood that drips out of the neck. This is called dam hatamsis. It's post-lifeblood blood flow, blood dripping, if you will. Is there not, and that now, dam hatamsis is not suitable for zrikas adam. So is that not mixed in to the blood on the floor that you're gathering up, trying to use for Zrikas Adam? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda Letame. Before we go further, we have a Nosei Mivne heading at the outside margin. Nisyonos Lanos Lashelo. These are attempts to answer the question, Eich Asifas Dam Yaritzpo Have Tikun. How is it that the gathering up of the blood serves as a repair situation for the possibility of some of the, one of the Korban Pesach's dam being spilled out? Is there not a problem of this non-acceptable blood being mixed into that which is on the floor? So we answer, we turning back to the Gemara, the fourth line from the top, where you see the double underlined expression. Rabbi Yehuda Letame. Now this double underline is because you'll see this expression repeated later as in our Gemara. So it's Rabbi Yehuda Letame, Domer Dam HaTamtzis Kori Dam. This is Rabbi Yehuda consistent with what he says elsewhere, that the Dam HaTamtzis is classified as blood. Desanya Dam HaTamtzis Bazor Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bekores. The first opinion is that in this source that we just read, if one eats, consumes Dam HaTamtzis, he's in violation of a negative command alone. Rabbi Yehuda says it's treated as we treat standard dam consumption with a kores penalty, which is a much more severe matter. So we see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, dam hatamsis is treated as standard dam, and as such, it should be suitable for the sprinkling of sacrifices as well. The Gemara asks, But even so, v'yomer Rabbi Elazar, moide Rabbi Yehuda linyan kapora sheinu mechaper. Rabbi Yehuda, though he treats dam hatamsis with the severity of dam, nevertheless, when it comes to the dam suitable for atonement, he concedes that it is not suitable for kapora purposes. Shenemar, quoting a posuk in Vayikra Perek Yud Zayin, the posuk says ki hadam hu benefesh yichaper. And now this is explained. Dam shanefesh yoytzeboy kori dam. The dam that constitutes its lifeblood, in other words, the soul of the animal departs with this flow. We'll call it it's not a, technically speaking, it's not the first gush of blood, but it's an early, it's an interim gush of blood coming from the animal that carries the lifeblood out. Carries the life of the animal out with it, hence we refer to it as dam hanefesh. That is called dam as far as kapora purposes that were just cited in the pasuk. However, she'ein hanefesh yotzebo, that blood that does not carry out with it the nefesh, the life of the animal, ein korui dam, it's not labeled as dam for atonement purposes. So that even Rabbi Yehuda concedes that dam hatamsis is a problem. So is there not a fear that I'm going to be gathering up in my cup some dam hatamsis as well? Elo Rabbi Yehuda letamei. Rabbi Yehuda, who does allow this gather up from the floor solution, he, in his seeming not unconcerned for the dam hatamsis problem, is actually consistent with what he says elsewhere. The Omar ein dam mevatel dam, that one type of dam doesn't cancel out the other. So that if I have a receptacle that has dam in it, so it has representation of dam hanefesh, which we need, and possibly dam hatamsis, and the dam hatamsis doesn't cancel the dam hanefesh that's in that same cup. That's what we mean. Ein dam mevatel dam. The Gemara after this will continue with this general din, or this general story of the blood on the floor of the Azora on Erev Pesach. But at this point, since we have actually spilled over a little bit onto a new daf, we will stop at this point. So with this, we conclude our shiur for today.